Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review Boys from County Hell. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to do just a little mini review. We both watched the season premiere of Titans, season three.
Titans, season three.
Season three. Now, kind of backstory. I am a huge DC nerd. So when this came out, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I was jumped on it and I thought it was, first season's okay. And then I think I mentioned it to you that it was on, didn't they have like a different, DC had a subscription channel or something? DC.
Yes. Yeah. For a little while.
Yeah.
I forgot what the app was, but yeah, I did start watching it there.
And we both thought, look, it's okay. It's not the best, but it's, you know, it's not the worst either. Well, that went away, and then they decided to move everything to HBO Max. And I've said previously, I don't know, a couple episodes back, that I enjoyed season two. I had gotten much better, and I was kind of happy with the direction of where the show was going. So with the season premiere here, I remember you telling me, actually, oh yeah, the first episode came out. I was like, hey, cool. So I checked it out. And as soon as I saw the first 5 minutes of this episode, I was like, oh, I'm going to text John like right away. Because he needs to watch this. It was, I guess we could spoil it, right? I mean, we're going to be,
I mean, yeah, weeks, but by the time.
Yeah. Weeks into the future. So It basically opens with
the most iconic thing that's ever happened to a Robin.
Yeah. We are immediately thrown into Jason's death by the Joker, by Crowbar. The iconic moment from A Death in the Family, you know, which is so funny because, like, I don't know if you knew this, that the fans had a vote whether Jason lived or not.
Yeah,
they all voted unanimously that he dies.
So, and now he's like a people's favorite Robin now all of a sudden, which is like, what? He wasn't even a good Robin. I mean, he became a great Red Hood.
Yeah, no, Red Hood, they've done some fun stuff with him. Kind of like, I don't know, wise-ass anti-hero kind of thing with him, which is a little more fun. But yeah, his first introduction as the second Robin, which is always going to be the hard part, right? You can't replace Dick Grayson, the original.
No. And then you got, what, Damian Wayne, and then that's all the Robins. There isn't even a fourth one that exists at all named Tim Drake.
I know. We got to get to that, too. And right away, I was like, holy shit, they did Death in the Family, Jason's Dead, which I assumed, because in the trailers, Red Hood is, you know, he's all over the trailers and in the artwork,
man,
and everything.
He's like you just got to drive down any street in LA and there's a big billboard with fucking Red Hood on it. So it's like, yeah, like, I wonder what's going to happen this season.
Yeah. But I didn't know that we were going to like, just get to it right away.
Fast. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was mind blowing. And then at each point, to me, this was like a really well done season premiere, because there's two things I love, right? Teen Titans. I love the team up books, right? The other thing I love is the Bat Family. All the little sidekicks he's had. And we just get almost hit like every sidekick person he's had before in the past, and a couple of new ones, and it just spanned the whole history. So we have this season we had Tim Drake, which I wasn't aware of, which everyone is kind of unanimously deciding he's the best Robin, you know? and right. they hinted
Tim Drake is in.
Yeah,
he's gonna pop out, or was he in the first?
He was in the first episode. He's the
whoops.
He's the delivery boy for the food. That's Tim Drake.
Oh, the wow. cops. Okay, even further backstory. We've both had really long weeks, so yeah. We're gonna try to piece together the episode, because the thing we just talked about with Jason Todd dying is the cold open for the episode.
First 5 minutes, yeah, it's yeah, spectacular. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like it totally sets the tone. But Tim Drake is the you know, that scene where the two cops are kind of like hassling a young kid that's delivering, you know, I don't know, buns or whatever.
Oh, that's Tim Drake.
That's Tim Drake.
Oh shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I didn't catch that.
So of course Tim Drake is everyone's favorite Batman, and little is I don't know many people know this if you're not like a comic fan, that he was the longest running Batman. So Dick Grayson was early Batman, which a lot of people didn't, you know, read, but from like 80 something to like 90 up until almost the New 52, there was a solo series Robin comics, and he was kind of just like the main character. So a lot of writers from this generation grew up loving Tim Drake because he was the only Robin around. And then Grant Morrison came with Damian and that sort of thing, and then they resurrected Jason Todd. So to see Tim Drake here is just like is really cool. I was not expecting him. I was already expecting Barbara.
Right,
because she's
that got spoiled for me because of Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
These actors are not very good about, like,
yeah,
I'm guessing they're not actually readers of the comics, because like, oh, that's a Oracle or Barbara Gordon. It's like, oh, yeah, like everybody knows who that is.
Yeah. And yeah, so I mean, she's been all over the like marketing material, and then the first, I didn't realize this, when I clicked on the first episode, it's named after her. It's like, she's called Barbara Gordon. So,
oh,
and this Barbara Gordon is the handicap one. She's the one in the wheelchair. She's the one that was brutally assaulted by the Joker, which there's so many instances of Joker in this show. And of course, we'll talk about the end, which I needed you to remind me about it. But yeah, I thought just all of that. Did you catch the little, also real quick, did you catch a little spoiler of all the other Robins? When he's like, he's in the
looking for,
yeah, like he had already made a list after Jason's death. The like his body's like not even cold yet, and like Batman already has like a list of Robins and stuff. I thought it was really cool. It was like these little Easter eggs with like Carrie Kelly. She of course is from The Dark Knight Returns. Stephanie Brown, who was also a Robin at one point, and Duke Thomas, who was also who became like a recent side Robin. So, and somebody named Daxton Chill, which I'm assuming is related probably to Joe Chill. I was unfamiliar with this character.
Daxton Chill.
Yeah, I was unfamiliar.
Is the Joker.
Is the Joker. So see, I mean, there was just so many like little like Batman stuff here, which made me flip out as a fanboy. And I was kind of skeptical. This season, it seemed like they were going to make the whole season about setting Gotham. And I think that, and they really are pulling no punches. They're making it very like Batman family centric, which is really interesting. You see, you see what kind of like a Batman's kind of like Bruce Wayne is kind of like the antagonist, right? He's like
a little bit. Yeah.
You see how cold and callous he is too. Throughout the episode, and you see, and of course it ends with him supposedly going out and killing the Joker,
which
so
is either the ballsiest move a show has done,
yeah,
or it's a dream sequence,
something, yeah,
but they don't really do that on this show, so I don't know,
right? Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing, he's kind of been not very helpful the previous seasons also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's always gotten in the way, or he's like pushed Jason Todd onto Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bozzy moved to introduce the Joker and only show his legs.
Yeah. And the crowbar.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crowbar. Yeah.
Silhouettes. It's all silhouettes, every piece of it. Yeah, and I think that's and that's like not even including, we didn't even touch upon any of the Titan stuff. And I kind of like that the Titans are more established now. They have their group. It's like Gar, it's Superboy, Starfire, Crypto. That's like going to be like the core group that's been working with Dick Grayson, and they're already kind of like have a like a good team dynamic already, you know. And then kind of
right, yeah.
I kind of forgot what happened to the other one. What was this other girl's name? Raven, right?
Well, Raven.
I don't know what happened to her. She.
I
thought she stayed. Yeah.
No, she left because of stuff. No, I don't know. I forgot what, like, her dad was, what's his name? Dormammu. No, what's his name?
Dormammu. Yeah.
I don't know. I think she, like, left to go find herself or some bullshit in the last season.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I have to revisit those episodes. I feel like it's been forever since the show came back. But I am 100% on board. This was an excellent episode. I'm ready to just, like, watch everything else now. I'm curious about where they're going to go. You know,
me too. If I have time to watch it, I would definitely watch it.
Yeah.
Because I'm working long hours in Santa Monica, which might sound super glamorous to people, but
yeah. But what did you think of this episode?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was awesome. And again, the first 5 minutes and just getting straight into, there's also that mystery about, or maybe you know what it is, whatever chemical or whatever
right, yeah.
that stuff was that he took and he's been studying, even though he's not supposed to be bright in that respect.
So so they're going to change it. I don't remember how they brought Jason back. I think he was a Lazarus Pit.
He was, yeah, he was definitely a Lazarus Pit thing.
And then they brought him back, yeah. It was. Okay, so that drug, the only other drug I can think of that's part of Batman's history was something called, it could be the Bane drug, which I forget the name.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of too, Venom.
Venom, there you go.
I was thinking it could be that too.
I didn't want to call it Venom because it sounded wrong because of the movie, but no, it's Venom.
Yeah, Venom, yeah.
I forgot the guy's name. Cool. He wrote this series of books about how Batman was very beat up and then he relied on this drug called Venom. He became too reliant on it.
Oh shit. I remember this. It's got that iconic, what's his name? Did the illustration for the cover, right? Where he's like way too muscular and he's like in a sewer and there's like all this black junk dripping off of him.
Let me see.
I remember this. Did this run happen in like the late or mid 90s?
I think it was a little earlier than that. Let me just get it has a Batman face looks all distorted. Like it looks like he's like smiling too aggressively. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, I think we're thinking of the same one. Yeah, he's like kind of almost like hunched over and like flexing really hard.
Yeah, I think there's something.
I'm sure he's in a sewer.
Yeah. That's it, actually. Yes. Denny O'Neill. He wrote... Denny O'Neill is one of the classic Batman writers who, like, wrote a lot of, like, more grounded, like, takes on Batman. He also had, like, Ra's al Ghul, stuff like that.
Grounded takes on Batman, so he dies all the time.
He dies. I don't think Denny O'Neill killed him, but, yeah. He wrote a lot of the...
Then they aren't grounded takes because realistically.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah, it is the one he's walking through the sewer and flexing. Yeah. So it was basically just about him dealing with like a drug addiction, right? Like a metaphor for drug addiction. So that's the only other thing. I'm not saying that's what it is. I don't know. But I mean, that's the only other like drug thing that seems plausible.
Well, I just read in an early run, very early, I'm talking like 60s or... Yeah, like early 60s, possibly. There's a issue where Batman smokes crack and then proceeds to beat up Superman.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Nice.
Must have been early Alan Moore.
Yeah. That's fun. It's crazy. I never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably why we don't read those, that era, right? The Bronze Era or the Golden Era.
Yeah, right. <It's> all druggies.
Just Silver Age and then skip. Yeah, skip to New 52.
Slap her out, whores. Yeah. Nice. Batman was a pimp.
So. Batman was a misogynist and a racist, probably.
But yeah, I think that I'm excited. I'm really excited to see what happens because it just seems like anything's possible now. Like Jason's dead, yeah. Joker's supposedly dead, Batman's a bastard, you know, the Titans got to do their Titan shit. Like, just all these little like stories and everything is just like, it's like catnip for me. I just, this is exactly yeah. what I like. Yeah.
Speaking of catnip, I recently acquired something that gives me a very relaxed and possibly hallucinatory
yeah.
experience, so to say. And I did watch the second episode of What If on this.
Okay, yeah.
And it was What If Star-Lord was T'Challa.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful to find, like, it's Chadwick Boseman's final film, really.
Right, yeah.
And the whole thing was, like, really nice, very positive and beautiful. And then at the end, they have, like, his little in memoriam, and I got, like, real choked up. I was like, oh, man. And then I look to my right, and I'm like, oh, the room's breathing. This is wonderful. I like this. And I just walked to my bed and lay down. I'm like, this is a wonderful night, and I fell asleep. So that is my review and recommendation for watching
and recollection
episode of,
yeah.
And recollection.
Yeah. Of yeah. What If episode 2. So
It's also fun. Karen Gillan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that who you're saying? Yeah. Her take on this Nebula is kind of fun because she doesn't have that stern, like really robotic sounding voice.
Okay, yeah.
She's supposed to be more like a, how do I put this? She kind of is reminiscent of like a Batman, like one of the Batman heroines,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in a syringe, you shoot it up. No, one of the Batman heroines, like I'm saying, like very Catwoman-like.
Yeah, okay,
she's
yeah.
very like beautiful and...
playful, I guess.
And then they introduce her adopted dad, Thanos.
Oh.
Who allegedly in this universe... when he was attempting to do the snap, T'Challa went, and with just talking and reasoning with them, now Thanos is a part of his crew because he respects T'Challa so much. It's really funny.
Yeah.
So Nebula shows up, and they're like, oh, how do you guys know each other?
Yeah.
And somebody says, like, oh, that's Thanos' daughter. And they both say, at the same time, adopted, because they had a falling out. What? So it's very like, oh, shut up, dad. Or like, it's a really funny take.
Yeah, that sounds funny. That sounds good. I got to catch up with that stuff. I've been completely...
Oh, off. On the hallucinatory magic honey that I have?
Yeah, the magic honey. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know. I just...
Oh, sorry, Mom, if you end up ever listening to any of these.
Yeah. The honey, yeah.
And any potential future employers, I don't do this stuff at work, so just no. Right. This is my off time.
Come on, you know everyone's cool on set. Come on now.
You don't want to see me sober. Okay.
So, little story. Well, this it ties to your magic mushroom story. Because
magic what? I said honey.
Honey, yeah.
What?
So
I'm telling the truth.
I used to, I don't know.
I don't lie.
When I first moved to LA, I did a lot of like grip work, right? You know this, but I'm just recounting it to the audience. And one of the most common
yeah.
thing
oh, yeah, yeah.
was if I had a key grip or like, you know, a gaffer or something, somebody in the lead, there was this one show where this guy's like, okay, before we get there, I forgot where we were. I think we were like Silver Lake, Echo Park or something. We're offloading equipment. And then where he's just like, okay, everybody stop. Come here, circle around. And I was like, oh, okay, we're going to have like this meeting. And then he goes, okay, also let me preface, this is like a long time. It was like 2 or 3 years ago. Maybe more. And he's like, okay, everybody stop. Everybody jump what they're doing. Come. So, like, so we all gather around him and everything. And he's like, okay, cool. So everybody hit my pen. Okay, good. Everybody, he just like, so he passes it. Everyone's like passing it or whatever. And of course, I don't smoke weed. So I just passed it off. Okay, good. Everybody's nice and high. All right, this is what we're going to do. And then he goes on to explain like, he goes on to explain like what, how we were, how we're going to set up for the first like three shots outside or whatever. It's just. I never forgot that. I don't know. It was crazy. It was just...
It's like, all right, we need to put up 6 20x20s, yeah. And they need to be the what do you call the flags that open up?
Yes.
Yeah. We're gonna do that, and okay. Break for breakfast.
Yeah. That was, and he was always like, "Need water? You need a food? You need like?" He was the real like attentive to like to everything. I don't know. That's just LA. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, now I mean things have changed drastically apparently because it's not in the budget to get your Coke dealer to show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because apparently that was very common.
The Coke dealer. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, right?
Yeah. horror movies. We talk about horror movies.
Moving on to a movie that was not shot anywhere near California. Yeah,
they probably didn't have weed.
wasn't even shot in the U.S.
No, it wasn't. All right, let's get to our main review. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny, 5 words. Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Yes, let's do it. For the movie Grabbers. I'm sorry. For the movie.
That was Boys. My joke.
From County Hell.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't actually number these in order. Let me see. Let me give this a quick glance.
Okay. All right.
Coming in at number 3. Young hoodlums disturb old guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was this guy, I'd be pissed too, and I'd probably be super hungry also.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2, Rolando and Johnny's college experience.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for Boys from County Hell, father give son leg up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is probably my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. There's a joke in here that I couldn't stop laughing. I had to pause the movie. I thought it was so funny.
Okay, well, what did you think of the movie, though?
This movie I really liked this movie. I don't think I understood it. I had to put the captions on about 30, 40 minutes in. And after that, I thought this movie was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
I will.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I will say this is one of those movies where I thought it was really funny and fun. But the script it suffered.
Yeah, I agree. I thought there was a lot of really like fun ideas. I really liked that there's... The sort of the crew are kind of like working class guys. They're not like, you know, they're just like guys who work on a construction site or whatever. And the main character works for his dad, right? And it's kind of like about their relationship. So I kind of thought that was an interesting way into this story because it directly ties to like the Irish vampire that's there, you know what I mean? And that's sort of the process within. I like that they figured out how to fight him. Even though they weren't like, you know, the brightest or the most like, I don't know, like, you know.
God, there's so many moments that. Oh, so I guess to set it up real quick, this town or the story is based, takes place, sorry, in the town where I guess Bram Stoker was inspired to write the book Dracula. And then they mentioned, it was like, you know, Bram Stoker was Irish. And I was like, what? And I look it up. I was like, holy shit, he was Irish.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah. Crazy.
So people come visit there, and there's like this one spot that has like a bunch of rocks.
Mm.
Like, to me, it kind of looked like, I'm probably going to offend some people, but like, you know, how like people go to like, they go on a hike and go to the top of this fucking tall mountain or something, like, oh, let me leave my little mark. And they put like a bunch of rocks on top of each other.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock those over. See, I would be, oh, and this is spoiling it, I guess. I was going to say, I would be that guy, because I'd be like, fuck your rocks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought there was, once I got the captions on, I thought there was a nice blend of like just funny out there moments with just a nice, simple horror story, right? They raise the vampire. They got to figure out how to defeat the vampire, right? That's like the gist. But I
and warning, folks, there is absolutely no sex or nudity in this film. So
no Keanu Reeves, no Winona Ryder, Gary Oldman,
nothing. There is nothing.
So I did like those aspects of the movie, and I like that because it's quote unquote the real vampire. Bram Stoker was inspired by it. There's a lot of the tropes of a vampire kind of throw out the windows in that case. So
yeah. A lot of those moments are so fucking funny.
He's able to,
I don't know. Would we be spoiling anything? Did we talk about anything?
I don't know. Like,
not really. The movie happens so fast.
It happens in the beginning of the movie. So I'll say the first one, that how they drain the blood is different. He's able just to kind of suck out the blood, pull the blood out of the individual instead of having like fangs and just like taking blood that way. So, I thought was pretty cool the way the movie opened, right? Because you have like that old couple, being old couple stuff, just watching TV.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of funny because it's also really not an important part of the movie at all.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And they proceed, the grandmother begins to have a nosebleed. Of course, the blood drips into her coffee and it continues to be a continuous drip. She's like, oh, I think I have a nosebleed. She looks at her husband and his eyes are like bleeding out of his, he has blood all coming out of his eyes. And then you see the trails of blood. And that's one way that they've sort of changed how the vampire, you know, eats blood or, you know, nourishes on blood.
Like this vampire is so old and decayed that it's just being around it. It's bad because you get Ebola, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is what happens. This vampire is a source of Ebola.
Is that true? Is that, did I say that?
No. Because they're bleeding from like eyes and shit.
Yeah. What did you think before we get into spoilers? So any more first thoughts?
I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. I could probably watch this again. I won't say it's like my favorite movie of the year. I don't know.
Whoa.
I'll be quite honest about that.
Yeah.
Because I think I watched most of it. And then right before I went to bed, I was like, let me try to watch a little bit of Titans. And then that kind of like, I got all into Titans.
Yeah.
So maybe I shouldn't have done that. But the movie's really funny. Yeah, I guess you're right. The script was simple enough, or the story was simple enough. I just thought they introduced some aspects and then they're kind of forgotten quite easily. Like, I forgot. I guess this is spoiling it. But somebody becomes a vampire, and then that person's love interest is still alive, and I completely forgot that they were dating. Because it didn't seem like it was that important. But there's a character that was going to leave to Australia, but he gets getting into spoilers.
Why don't we do that? I think it'd be much more fun if we get into spoilers.
Wait. No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So like there are these two best friends, and one guy decides to go to, he's going to move to Australia, and he hasn't told his girlfriend yet.
Right.
Who's a bartender.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also somebody's sister. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
And they decide to get really drunk, which I guess is like the main character is like MO. That's all he does. He's kind of like a loser a little bit.
Slacker loser.
And they cut through a field where, oh, let's backtrack for a bit, because this was funny and it wasn't even like a really scary moment, but they trick these like Canadian tourists. Well, not really trick, but they convince these Canadian tourists to hire them to take them to where Bram Stoker's Dracula is supposedly buried, which is like the main focal point of the movie.
Yeah.
And I guess the payment was they bought him a bunch of beer, I think was it, right?
I think so, yeah.
They don't explicitly mention it, but like it's
this next scene,
I don't know why I said explicitly mention it, they don't say that. It's fucking beer.
Yeah, the next scene they have a bag of beer that they're like happy to take from them, I guess, right, is the idea.
Yeah. And they go and they said, yeah, if you rest your ear onto the stones, you can hear a heartbeat or like somebody breathing. And like we all did it when we were kids, and they basically egg him on like, oh, what, are you chicken? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So he goes and does it. And then this like a big claw paw pops out and grabs the guy. And it's their third friend.
Yeah.
And they're just fucking with the tourists, and the tourists get really mad and then just leave. Which I thought that was like a really funny moment that wasn't actually scary or like a horror moment. It was just them being trolls, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was a good way to kind of introduce these sort of slacker working class guys, you know.
Yeah, and then show where like most of the movie takes place, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. Like out in the middle of nowhere field, and like this big pile of rocks, and when these two friends get drunk, it's like the middle of the night. The friend decides to walk his buddy, who's going to go to Australia, home.
Mm-hmm.
They cut through a field and they're right by those rocks. And out of nowhere, a bull charges out right into his friend,
mm-hmm.
and gores him to death. And as a friend falls, he gets cut open by one of the rocks.
Yeah.
And that's a bit tricky because it had to be like a specific stone, right?
It had to be it was just that he was in proximity of the blood. The rocks is the burial site of the vampire, right? And
right.
When he was gored into it, he was bleeding out and he just bled all over the rocks and into the ground, which the ground absorbed it.
So, because the vampire was like nearby, mm-hmm. or like down there.
Right.
Because I feel like I misunderstood something. Because I thought in order to become a vampire, you had to be cut open by that stone, by one of the stones that had like the runes on it, or the runes.
Mm. Yeah, that was a bit loose.
Hazy on, yeah, like how do you become a vampire? I'm not sure, because getting bit didn't do anything.
Yeah, because spoiler, we think he's dead and they have like a big burial, but we find out that the dad, who I guess he lives around there, he's in proximity of that area. With his wife were like identifying the body at a morgue, but he, of course, him being a vampire, he rose and they had him locked up basically in their house, thinking it's like their son, but it's like a vampire's son situation.
Yes. Again, yeah. So that's what I'm talking about with the story. I'm like, I don't really understand some of it.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that kid becomes a vampire.
And
that's what I'm talking about. He was supposed to be dating the only real female lead in the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then later I forgot about it because there wasn't a real, like, I guess she runs to go see him because he's in the special room. There's like a whole thing where I guess growing up they were best friends. Oh, shit. That guy that found them, that field is the dad, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is also a Undertaker? Yes.
I think you're right. Yeah.
You see what I mean? It gets all confusing.
Yeah.
But again, the movie's really funny.
Yeah. Well, my favorite moment was they're fighting off the guy who was supposed to watch the area, and they had turned him into a vampire. And so the son is like trying to fight him off, and he like stabs him with the pole, and then his heart like comes out, and then the dad, it's kind of been kind of like a jerk this whole time, comes out and says, he looks what's going on. He clearly sees the man with his heart at the end of the pole. Yeah. And he's like, was that my new pole? He was more upset. He was more upset about losing his new pole than the fuck is the situation. It was pretty funny.
And then that dude starts moving again, right? Like he's trying to like pull himself off the pole. Yeah. And like his heart's like at the end of the spear, which is like right through his chest.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's still alive. And then they just start rationalizing it like, well, yeah, he was a drunk, right? It's like, how? Yeah. Like, oh, he's probably on drugs. That's why he's still alive. It's like his heart's out of his body.
Yeah.
It's like a good 2 feet away from his actual body.
Yeah. All of that was really good.
And my favorite moment was like towards the end, the whole leg up joke I had.
Oh, yeah.
Father gives son a leg up was they finally come to an agreement about their relationship, right? Because they have like a strained relationship since their mom died, or his wife died, his mom. He had broken his leg. How did he break it? Oh, no, no. Sorry. He chopped off the vampire's head, which I thought was really funny. That moment was really funny because you're expecting this like, oh, no, the dad's going to get killed or there's going to be like some epic fight. But he just gets the drop on the vampire and just like chops his head off. But that also doesn't kill him. And he's not seeing that. And the vampire grabs an axe because he's pissed.
Yeah.
And also like you don't get any dialogue from the vampire, but you can sense these emotions that the vampire is portraying. He's just like infuriated that this fucking guy chopped his head off. So he slams the axe right into his leg.
Yeah.
So he's like hobbling around, and then the son at one point tells him, just get back because they're hiding from the vampire, and the dad's not paying attention. It goes through a hole in the ground, which is where the vampire is from, and breaks his leg even more. So the leg is like real fucked, and they're hiding from the vampire, and the dad's like, oh, just take my leg and stab him. He's like, are you sure, Dad? So the son straight up rips his dad's fucking leg off.
I like the scene where they're like, the son's screaming, the dad's like, whoa, like he's pulling the leg off. That was,
oh my God, it was so funny.
Yeah, it was. It was really funny.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so the movie's pretty good. I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, this was a really fun movie. Yeah. Who knew? Ireland was had more than Leprechaun movies their horror movie film scene, right? We saw this, we saw Grabbers this year. I mean, excellent. Two really, really solid movies.
And I think I would say they are very similar movies too. Like there's like a whole feel that Grabbers and this movie have, where if you told me that they all happened in the same universe, I'd believe it.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Yeah,
which should be pretty fun.
Yeah,
if Ireland, if you're listening,
just all work together. Ireland, work together. Cool. Did you have any last thoughts?
No, I just would say, like, if you want like a good, I think it's a good like hanging out drinking movie, you know, because it's a lot of laughs. Like I'm saying, the movie's like pretty funny all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Captions on, but yeah.
Captions on. Also, try not to follow how they become vampires too hard, because I was convinced that his the big friend that's not actually from that town.
Yeah.
That gets like, he gets sliced in the stomach. The vampire has like one of the stones and slices him in the stomach. He's like, oh shit, he's going to be a vampire. And then the son gets his arm gets slashed open by a stone also.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by their friend that became a vampire. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, now the son's going to become a vampire. And then it never happened. And I was like, I clearly missed something.
I agree. Maybe I don't remember. Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention to some of the story details.
Yeah. Because they definitely did a Jeepers Creepers 2 ending. Where Jeepers Creepers 2, this guy at the end of the movie traps the creeper.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
The time limit runs out, so he pins him to a wall.
Yeah.
And right in that same vein where they buried the vampire, he goes in every day, I guess, and he's the only person there now because his friends are all dead and like the girl decides to go to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So he hangs back and every day, I guess, he puts a stone on the grave. And when he's climbing his like little makeshift ladder to get back out into the world, you see like he's got an armoire of like weapons.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. That is very similar ending. He's like the town protector, even though his reputation was one of destroying all the history of the town and stuff like that. Yeah, same here. I really like this movie. It was really good. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This is why this show is like so important. It's just like we're able to watch all of these movies that aren't on anybody's radar, really, you know. And
shit, this wasn't even on our radar, right? I just randomly saw it. Or did you see it?
It was you. Here, it was you, yeah.
Okay. I thought so. It was like something we were just here. Here's how the sausage is stuffed, ladies and gentlemen. We were here on Zoom trying to figure out what to watch. We're both saying at the same, just sighing like, oh, there's a lot of crap right now. There's nothing to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what's this? We were watching trailers back and forth like, oh, this looks also bad.
Yeah.
And just kept like pass. I was like, this looks funny.
Yeah. And it's fun to just stumble upon these movies that are, you know, really work. Yeah. And they're a lot of fun. And I think everybody should check this movie out. Cool. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Boys from County Hell, not the porn, 7.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same park. I'll probably be a little higher, just a whole point higher. I'll do 8.5 sexy spooky bones.
Nice.
Cool.
I'm pretending I have a voice changer. I'm pretending that I added a bunch of effects to that in case you're wondering at home.
Yeah. No, I'll do it all in post. Like.
Yes. All right.
All right. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to.